The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
And our minds will pray your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
For the Jewish race in ancient times and today, the deliverance from slavery in Egypt defines the nature of God's protection. Such is his power that he made their escape possible by the mighty miracle of drying up the waters for them to pass over unharmed. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 31. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses.
The parable of Jesus teaches us what God is like. His whole nature is forgiveness and mercy. And just because he forgives us so much and loves us so much, we are to show these same graces in our lives. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today is a very significant day for many different reasons. Firstly, the sun is shining, and that's a rarity for this part of Belfast. Do take a photograph and enjoy seeing your local community in the sun. And the sun coming in through all the stained glass windows really is just magnificent as we gather for worship, and it does help to put all of us into really good form as we come together. The wipers on the car can take a well-earned day off. Secondly, it's a very significant day for Sebastian, who has come for baptism. Sebastian, along with his parents, godparents, and wider family members, are here And we do welcome all of our visitors to St. Columba's on this very significant day for Sebastian. And thirdly, there's going to be another baptism later on this morning. Richard is being baptized, but Richard is about 6'3", and I will not be carrying Richard around the church. I will carry Sebastian around the church, and so far all is going well because Sebastian is in good form. And as I always say to parents when I go and meet them before baptisms, depending how the baby is will depend how fast I walk and how far I walk. But as I said to Richard, that's a non-starter as far as you are concerned, because I would not be carrying Richard anywhere. He could probably carry me, and that won't happen either. But as we gather here, we focus on our service, we focus on fellowship, and we focus on family, because we are welcoming into our church family today two new members who are going to be part of our family and who are going to be entering into our work as a parish where every single person is so very important. And that was very evident when we all gathered at Unicarville on Friday evening for the hog roast. We had parishioners who were so high, we had parishioners who were same age as me, and we had parishioners who were even taller and older than I was. And what was good was everybody just got stuck in, and everybody really enjoyed it, and the laughter, the fellowship, the crack, and the banter was superb, and there was no hog left. Everybody really enjoyed the food, everybody really enjoyed the company, and it was St. Columba's family, those who were there, really enjoying being with each other. And in our own families, we do enjoy family gatherings. We enjoy family occasions, let it be for birthdays, anniversaries, our graduation events, our particular days of significance, our celebration. We enjoy coming together. And Friday for our church family was one of those occasions. And it was just a real tonic to see everybody of all ages mixing with each other and really, really enjoying the evening. So well done to everyone for coming. And a particular word of thanks to Tony and Clodagh Reid, who made the whole thing possible by making their lovely home and grounds available to us for what was a magnificent venue for what was a wonderful evening. As we come to the baptismal service, there's a question I'm going to be asking, and you know the question of old because the questions remain the same, no matter if it is for an infant or for an adult. And one of the questions that I'm going to be asking very, very shortly is this: do you turn to Christ? And you're all going to listen to the parents and listen to the godparents as they come back and say very loudly and very clearly and very boldly, I do. And I want all of us just to focus for a few moments on that question. And I want all of us, when we come to that point in the service, to make that question our question, because we are part of the church family. We are part of the baptismal service. So when I ask the parents and godparents the question, do you turn to Christ? I want all of us to reflect on that question and to answer silently within ourselves, I do. Because the reading today ups the bar dramatically. By turning to Christ, there is, isn't there, an expectation that we're going to live our lives in a way that Christ would want us to do, and Christ would have expectations of us. And what does the New Testament reading do? It talks about forgiveness. Ah, therein lies perhaps a difficulty or a conflict. How good are we at giving and offering forgiveness? We live in a world where we're very quick to hit the blame button, are very quick to hit the fault button. Not my fault, I didn't do it, I'm perfectly all right, you did it, and it's your fault. Isn't that right? Or we read newspaper report after newspaper report all about fault and difficulty. But what about forgiveness? This person comes with a question. How many times should I forgive? And of course, the answer was something quite extraordinary. Not the answer the person was expecting. 70 times 7. In other words, before you start doing basic mathematics, in other words, everlasting, ongoing, never ending, always to be focused on forgiving. So do you turn to Christ? The answer is I do, but what about forgiveness? Where does that sit in the middle of belonging to Christ? Or does it sit there at all? We all know in our own families when things go wrong, when things are said that perhaps shouldn't be said, or something happens that shouldn't have happened. How good are we at saying sorry, and how good are we at receiving and giving forgiveness? Well, perhaps there is a little sense of focus in that New Testament reading to help us to be more focused on forgiveness. Because when we don't forgive, we actually cause ourselves much more stress and much more difficulty because we start to harbor a grudge. And then whenever we see that person, we feel we can't cope. We want to ignore, not to enter into communication, not to have dialogue, and the situation spirals rapidly out of control. And the reading brings us right back to what Christ did for us. And that is what makes it so poignant. Forgiveness starts with Christ, with what he did for us on the cross. Remember that lovely hymn from Mrs. Alexander that we sing so often in Lent? He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. That's what Christ did for us. He forgave us. What about our return on that? How good are we at forgiving others? And the reading tells us there should be no limit to how often we should forgive. And doesn't that also come up in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Perhaps one of the first prayers that we learnt by heart in Sunday school days. And so the question is, what's our response? As Christ forgives us, as Christ forgave us on the cross and continues to forgive us, he does something else as well, as Canon Laverty, who pronounced the absolution a short time ago. Christ gives us strength to do better next time. And all of that is part of being a member of a church family. All of that is being part of being with Christ. So as we come to the service of baptism, let us focus on that reading. Forgiveness, there is no limit. It's ongoing, it's everlasting, or so it should be. Reflected in our words and in our actions, no matter what the circumstance or what the situation. Because when Christ died on the cross, there were no exclusions, there were no exceptions. It was for all, in every circumstance, in every situation. As we receive, may we also give forgiveness. So we come now to the service of Holy Baptism, when we're going to admit Sebastian David Cooper into our church family. And so I invite you to turn to the baptismal service in your pews. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again of water and the Spirit, and has given us baptism as the sign and seal of this new birth. Here we are washed by the Holy Spirit and made clean. Here we are clothed with Christ,
dying to sin that we may live his risen life. As children of God, we have a new dignity, and God calls us to fullness of life. Holy baptism is administered to infants on the understanding that they will be brought up in the fellowship of Christ's church, that they will be taught the Christian faith, and that when they publicly confess this faith, they'll be confirmed by the bishop and admitted to the Holy Communion. We welcome those who come to be baptized. I invite their sponsors to present him now. Parents and godparents, will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Sebastian David Cooper for baptism and answer in his behalf? By your own prayers and example, by your teaching and love, will you encourage him in the life and faith of the Christian community? In baptism, this child begins his journey in faith. You speak for him today. Will you care for him and help him to take his place within the life and worship of Christ Church? In baptism, God calls us from darkness into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask, do you turn to Christ? Do you then renounce the devil and all his works? Will you obey and serve Christ? I invite the congregation to stand. The parents and godparents have made important promises on behalf of Sebastian David Cooper. And now this is our opportunity as a church family to show our support and our encouragement. You've heard these, our brothers and sisters, respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling?
We will support them.
I'm going to invite all the young people who are here who would like to come and see the baptism up close if they want to come down and join us here at the West End. The first thing we have to do is to ask God's blessing on the water that we're going to be using for baptism. Praise God who made heaven and earth. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water to sustain, refresh, and cleanse all life. Over water the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water you led the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. In water your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us from death of sin to newness of life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we baptize into this fellowship those who come to him in faith. Now sanctify this water, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Sebastian David Cooper may be cleansed from sin and born again. Renewed in your image, may he walk by the light of faith and continue forever the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit
be your honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Parents and godparents, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which Sebastian David Cooper is to be baptized? Brothers and sisters, I ask you to profess together with this candidate the faith of the Church. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Morning. How are you? It's so good of you to come along this morning. It really is. Now, name this child. Sebastian David Cooper. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of the cross. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Confess Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. Look for his coming in glory. May Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ. Amen. Well done. I think you are Mr. Independent, and I think you could walk with me, couldn't you, around the church? Yes. Now, let's see how we get on, okay? Now, if you hold my hand, okay? Let's go this way, shall we? Good. Let's all now welcome Sebastian David Cooper. God has called you into his church. We therefore receive and welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, as a child of the one Heavenly Father, and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Now, you'll be well sized up. Yes. See you. Yes, I know. See?
Hello.
Yes. Now, do you see all these people up here? Now, do you see them? Yes, you've been all examined. See him? Yes. Are you taking note?
Yes.
Good. You see him? Yes. Now. Now. Do you want to do the last bit yourself? Do you? Now. Well done. Good. And off he goes. We're all going to return back to our seats for the anthem, Almighty and Everlasting God.
Almighty and everlasting God. Mercy for you, Lord God.
As we begin to pray, we ask God to grant us an attentive silence and stillness. Help us to be still before you and to know that you are God. Heavenly Father, you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, that when we meet in your name, that you will be among us and hear our prayer. In your love and mercy, fulfill our desires and give us your greatest gift, which is to know you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you that Sebastian has now been born again of water and the Holy Spirit, and has become your only child by adoption and member of your church. Grant that he may grow in the faith in which he has been baptized. Grant that he may confess it when he comes to be confirmed. Grant that he may bear witness to it by a life of service to others. And that all things belonging to the Spirit may live and grow in him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, bless the home of this child, Sebastian, and give such grace and wisdom to all who have care of him, that by their word and good example, they may teach him to know and love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, our sovereign and our shepherd, who brought us again, you brought your Son, Jesus Christ, from the valley of death. Comfort those who were affected by the explosion in the London Tube train with your protecting presence and your angels of goodness and love. Abide with us and in us, Lord, for it is evening and the day is drawing to a close. Abide with us and with your whole church in the evening of the day, in the evening of life, in the evening of the world. Abide with us and our families in time and eternity. Lord God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, understood people's fear and pain before they spoke of them, we pray for those in hospital and those who are unwell at home. Surround the frightened with your tenderness and give strength to those in pain. Hold the weak in your arms of love and give hope and patience to those who are recovering. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, teach us to learn to be content and that what we have. Remind us that what we have and not to what we want. When we feel that we can't go on, remind us that your grace is sufficient. When we feel too tired, remind us that you have said that you would give us rest and carry our burden. When we feel that things are impossible, remind us that we can do all things through you. When we can't forgive ourselves, remind us that you forgive us. When we feel that we can't manage, remind us that you have promised to supply all of our needs. When we feel all alone, remind us that you have said that you will never leave us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, your love is in us like a flame that burns in our hearts, giving light to all we do and to everything that we are. Sometimes it dances in our souls. At times it comes or flickers or goes low when hard times come our way. Even in the darkest hours, let us sense your light afresh. Remind us to trust in you. Remind us that no matter what lies ahead of us, that you will always be there for us. Be still and wait and rest our soul. For every flame needs gentle fuel. Your love is the key for keeping this little candle burning alight in us. It guides our life, our thoughts, our dreams, and shines for all to see. Thank you for the happiness and peace that you have given to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask you to direct, sanctify, and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments. Fill our hearts with patience. May we be ready to forgive ourselves and forgive others, not just once, but forgive as many times as it takes. Grant us, O Lord God, ever to find in you a very help in trouble. When we are in the darkness, our doubt, our perplexity, or when we are in a very dark night of the soul, shed your light upon our way. When we are burdened with the affairs of our daily lives, you have told us to give us your burdens. Lift us to the calm of your presence when we are battling with temptation, and by the might of your Spirit, make us strong to overcome, and grant us that peace, your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
our prayer.
Amen.
Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. I invite you to enjoy refreshments now at the west end of our church, and members of the Ladies' Guild Committee are invited to see Imelda Shepherd at the end of the service.
Let us pray. Under God's most gracious care and protection, we commit you May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and forevermore.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.